We got the work if you got the skills. Northwest Contracting is hiring. We need experienced concrete finishers, concrete laborers, and other skilled workers to join our team. Northwest Contracting is committed to providing a positive workplace, and our people receive great pay, benefits, and safety training. If you have the skills, apply in person today for an interview. Stop in at Northwest Contracting, 2840 Valley Forge Street, Bismarck, or apply online at northwestcontracting.com.
Without apology, The Regular Joe Show with Joe Giganti, weekday evenings at 9 on Super Talk 1270 and the free Super Talk 1270 mobile app. It's time for Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. Talk of the Town, brought to you by Big Boy, just get in line, it moves fast. Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center, we're here to help you stay well. Trademark Realty, Peak Automotive and Service, and Silver Ranch.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk the Town on a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bach along with Jason Spees from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And Jason, you are on the road this week. Tell everybody where you're at.
I'm down in Greeley, Colorado. We're talking Weld County, which is the oil and gas county for Colorado. Natural gas, of course, on the western slope on Grand Junction, that area, but on the east side of the state where you've got Fort Collins and Greeley, some other Loveland, I guess, would probably be the three triangles where you're looking at some oil and gas activity. And we're here with a gentleman who's going to be running for county commission, and he's currently has a role as an oil and gas commissioner, is it? I believe. And anyway, I'll let Steve, I'll let you go ahead and find out more about Mr. Jason here. Is it Maxley? Is that right?
Maxie.
Okay. All right. I'm going to hand over the microphone, Steve, and you can find out our guest of honor here this morning.
Well,
and I'll get into why, because I'm going to just tease a little bit here. Colorado blueprint we're going to talk about this morning, because I believe what is happening right now in Weld County is a blueprint for the rest of the country. And we're going to talk with Jason Maxie about that a little bit, too. And he's running for county commissioner, so it's a good opportunity for him to get his message out to the audience and the different people involved here. So I'm going to hand over the mic, Steve, and you can ask a couple questions, okay?
Perfectly. And for those that don't know, Weld County is basically the nexus of oil and gas production in Colorado. It's our Bakken. And, you know, the thing with Weld County in Colorado is it pays a lot of bills in the state of Colorado. It's the center of energy. And because of the oil production, Colorado has a lot of benefits, not dissimilar than we have in North Dakota with the Bakken shale play. We see a lot of benefit across the state going into the tax coffers. Jason, you know, you're on the ground in Weld County. Tell us what you do within the industry.
Sure. And thank you again very much for having me on this morning. So again, my name is Jason Maxie, and I currently work for Weld County. I just turned over my fifth year, so starting on my sixth. And I am the director for the Oil and Gas Energy Department for the county. It's a department that the county commissioners formed 4 years ago after the signing of Senate Bill 19-181, which gave more local control authority to counties or municipalities if they chose to take that that local control authority that was laid out in the bill. And so the county commissioners set up this department because oil and gas, as you already mentioned, is very important to not only the local economy and to the county, but also to the state and, quite frankly, the country. So I'm happy to be in the role that I'm in right now.
So, Jason,
explain
that relationship a little bit, because it's a little different in Colorado, because for those that are on the outside, maybe not in the know, it's an interesting relationship that Weld County has within the state of Colorado, because there's a little bit of a push and pull. you got a lot of people in the state that really don't like Weld County, but you got a lot of politicians in the state that like what Weld County produces in the terms of tax revenue for the state. Talk a little bit about that relationship, because it's an odd relationship, and you do have local control. Weld County fights the fight, where we in North Dakota see Western North Dakota versus some of the factions in the East a little bit that maybe don't like oil and gas to the same extent. You're a county that is fighting for the industry and fighting for what the finances bring to the state of Colorado, that bounty through oil and gas. It's an interesting relationship. Go into that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll just hit some high points of it. It is a delicate balance. It's an interesting relationship, as you said. And Weld County and any county or any municipality in the state, for that matter, has had a lot of local control over land use type issues through just the normal zoning code that we have. So we've had land use permitting for a long time. The problem with oil and gas was that state statute and the rules didn't allow local control to be on the same level as what the state rules allowed and what the state's purview was in the past. But now, with 181 being signed into law, it elevated the local control ability for municipalities or for counties to have a more even seat or a level playing field with the state of Colorado. And so we do have a heavy role into the land use issues of oil and gas. We don't get into the downhole subsurface permitting. We leave that up to the state. But for surface issues, it's really no different than any other type of land use permit that the counties and municipalities have been doing for decades, quite frankly. And so we were happy to be able to use that new authority. Quite frankly, other counties were very happy to use that authority to go the opposite direction and to further their non-allowance of oil and gas in their county if they so choose. But Weld County went the other direction because it is important, again, to our county. Our budget is probably a little over 50%, maybe closer to 60% made up from revenue from oil and gas. And so it's important to us, and it's important to the local economies and the municipalities within our county with all the subcontractors and ancillary services that the oil and gas industry provides.
Jason, I have a question for you about the relationship between the government and the landowners and the private sector. For those people who aren't necessarily aware with Weld County, Laramie, found that out. I kept screwing that up yesterday because of Laramie, Wyoming. But it's much like East and West in North Dakota, where the politics are very different. And I mean, you're talking about a 20-minute drive and you're extremely different politics. And when you're talking about land ownership and property rights, that can become, what do you say, Steve? Whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting.
Yep.
Well, eminent domain's for the cafe only, right? You come on my land, it's a whole different ballgame. So, Jason, talk to me about the relationship with the government, because you are part of the government. You're also overseeing a very big private sector, would be the oil and gas sector. So this is one of the most hotbed issues for people is property rights. What does the person who lives 20 miles away have the right to tell me how to live my property, et cetera, et cetera? That's another balance I'm very curious about.
Yeah, you're right. It is a delicate balance. And Weld County has historically had very deep respect for private property rights for our residents within the county. We have a deep respect for the agricultural industry, which the county was founded upon a long time ago. And oil and gas and ag have a symbiotic relationship with each other. So when we're looking at private property rights, there might be some preferences that other people have. You might have some people around the area who might have some concerns with certain types of development. And oil and gas is, again, a land use type of development. We fully engage the property owners, the homeowners around the proposed development to get their input onto this a new permit that might be proposed in their area. And what we try to do is we try to figure out what their concerns are, how we can mitigate some of those concerns. A lot of concerns with the development are all on the upfront side of oil and gas, which is, you know, the construction phase prior to the actual production, because once it gets into production, there's a lot less factors that seem to be a problem. And so it is a balance from our standpoint about are the companies who are applying for the permits, are they adhering to the rules that are set forth regarding being a good neighbor, quite frankly, just fitting in with the surrounding area? And if we do have concerns from residents, how can we try to further work with that company and mitigate those so that ultimately we can respect the private property rights of the individual who wants that oil and gas location on their land?
We're talking with Jason Maxey. He is the director at Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department, along with Jason Spies from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Supertalk 1270. When we come back, we're going to talk bigger picture. And Jason mentioned the blueprint. And former governor of Colorado wrote a book which outlined a blueprint. And we'll talk about that and what that means for the country coming up next. This is Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from Crude Life on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And we're talking with Jason Maxey, director at Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department. And one of the things that took place in Colorado, now, with Governor Hickenlooper, you had a governor who may not have been on board completely from an energy perspective, but he understood energy and the advantages that it gave the state of Colorado. With the current governor, Governor Polis, I don't know if that scenario lays out the same way. In fact, Polis had written a book that laid out the blueprint for Colorado energy. And Jason, you had the contention that that might be the blueprint for the entire country.
Well, I believe there's a lot of credence to that. I don't know if it's the entire blueprint because California plays a very big role in New York. And to me, they kind of seem like the coast-to-coast plant in Peoria, if you will.
But those aren't sustainable. We know what comes out of California. We know what comes out of New York.
Right.
Not sustainable. The nuance with what comes out of, and I'll throw Colorado, because if you're east of the Rockies, you're in the heartland.
Right.
Farming, ranching, oil and gas. It's a little different having that message coming out of a state like Colorado than the radical states on the coasts.
It is. And so that's what's interesting about it is because when you look at the coast, they like test market these radical ideas. Like in California, remember, 1% needed to be EV cars, 10% EV cars by the end of 1999.
It didn't work. Not sustainable. Not going to happen.
Yeah. And so what did California do? Well, they found out the hybrid market really did well, but California said, nope, we want EVs.
All or nothing.
So they squashed that. And when I saw what Governor Polis did in Colorado, I believe he's taking, or whoever his special interests represent, they're grabbing these extreme things that work, and they're bringing it in through Colorado, because when it works in Colorado, you see it all of a sudden go to other states. It bleeds in because they say, well, if Colorado does it, well, Patagonia, baby, we better, you know, boulder this thing up. And we call it the blue boulder rolling down the Rocky Mountain is really what we call it, because they can steamroll it very good. And when they came out with SB 181, I was out here in the heart of it and I saw a billboard, and all they did was they had a woman holding her child with an oil rig in the background. And it said, vote no, nothing else, or vote yes, whatever the, I forget, it was no or yes. But anyways, I thought, oh my goodness, when you can have a message like that, that is almost impossible to overcome if you're on the receiving end of that. And these are the types of conversations that need to happen more and more so people can understand the psyops, really the psychological operations that is happening over this whole deal. Now, I'm going to hand it off to Jason Maxey because he's the oil and gas director for the county, and he may have a disagreement about the Colorado blueprint. He may have some insight on, oh, yeah, New Mexico. They call us a lot to find out how we're doing things, that type of thing. So, Mr. Jason Maxey, what do you make about the Colorado blueprint and some of the I don't know, flamboyant, ostentatious, direct comments I just made.
Wow, that's quite the intro, I guess, to a question here. You know, I might not be the most educated on the actual Colorado blueprint, but what I can tell you is that we have seen just an attack on oil and gas lately, and it's not just from the standpoint of it moved beyond just no development whatsoever. We definitely have counties that have taken that liberal mindset as far as no development. That's what we want. And when that didn't happen, through Proposition 112, if you remember, Proposition 112 happened actually prior to Senate Bill 181. It happened in the fall on the ballot of 2018. That was trying to get a 2,500-foot setback from oil and gas. When that didn't happen and the legislature imposed 181, you're right, the messaging and the headlines that you started seeing, we have found that is hard to overcome these days because it bleeds into your emotions, not the facts. And so when we start hearing the governor talking about a certain percentage of renewables by 2030 or by 2040, and electrification of oil and gas locations and of midstream components, and now we start seeing the CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, starting to do rulemaking on air quality measures. It's 100% directly related to oil and gas, but what we are seeing also is it bleeding into other industries. Agriculture is another one. Transportation, obviously. Cars are a major emitter of VOCs and ozone contributors. So when you're talking about the entire blueprint, it affects so much, but at the heart of it continues to be oil and gas. And what more can they do when through even just my time at the county, 5 years, there's been major improvements that oil and gas has done. They're one of the most resilient and inventive companies or industries out there. And so it's been very interesting to kind of watch from my perspective, even though I'm not involved too much in the state politics or know too much about the blueprint, but it is interesting to see. And that emotion that we see from the public, we can give them 10 facts and they could just say one emotional comment that has already made up their mind. And my 10 facts won't do anything to sway the emotion that they have been feeling or that they've been told to feel for the last 5 or 10 years.
Jason Maxey, director at Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department in Colorado. And Jason, you know, I'm a big fan of let industry, private enterprise, let them innovate, incentivize them to innovate instead of penalizing them to not innovate. If you get out of the way and get less regulation and clear a path, industry will innovate and they'll improve. They'll become a more efficient and cleaner. And there's a natural progression because it makes economic sense. So what have you seen the industry doing in Colorado over the last couple of years with the blueprint that's out, the Prop 112, SB 181, the attack that's on oil and gas? Because we see things going on here in North Dakota and some of the other shale plays, like down in the Permian, the Marcellus, and the reaction's always a little different because of the states that those lie in. There's a national push and an international push against oil and gas industry. What are you seeing in Colorado that the industry's doing to try to manage what's going on in Colorado? Because a lot of that's going to play out across the rest of the country in some of these other shale plays.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think probably what I could say, two of the most, I think, apparent innovations or changes that the industry is doing through the permitting process that we see directly is, number one, they are very aware about any type of even minor, what I'll call fugitive emissions. Gone are the days to where there's, no controls on pneumatics or on thief hatches and people just opening them up and tanks venting to the atmosphere. Those emissions, those sources are captured now and they're ran back through the system to help with air quality issues. The operators here in the county are very aware of that. In fact, the entire state, there's a lot of rules that have come out of Senate Bill 181 that have they were already moving in that direction, but now they're moving that direction for every single location. There's the inability to flare or vent natural gas in the new rules. And so they've come up with unique ways to use different ideas to capture that gas or to use it for a beneficial use on a location. Regarding land use type issues, one of the innovations we've seen, obviously, it's not really an innovation new today, but horizontal drilling over the last decade has truly impacted the ability for these companies to locate their facilities in areas to where, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, it might not have been viable, might not have been economical or even possible downhole for them to locate in a certain area. But they're very much aware of the citizen issues, of the community issues regarding proximity to schools or proximity to other highly sensitive receptors. And so they do their best to totally avoid those type of issues these days. Whereas in the past, we may have seen development either need to happen in a certain location due to technology or feasibility, or it just was one of those things to where the industry kind of just built where they almost wanted to build because they had a willing landowner with little regard to the surrounding area. But both of those things have been huge innovations. And I will say mindset shifts also of the industry to where they truly want to partner with the area. They want to partner with the local governments. They want to do what's best because we have a great resource under our feet that will help provide energy security for our area and our nation. And they want to still access that. And I want them to, quite frankly. We need to do that in order to help out our economy, whether that's local or state.
Jason, we're up against the break. I want to come back and talk about the landowner side of things a little bit better because we've got some things going on here in North Dakota concerning CO2 sequestration and eminent domain. And it's across North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska concerning landowner rights. And I want to talk about how Colorado and Weld County deal with that on a state level when we come back. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Jason Maxey, Director at Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270.
Talk of the Town, Pets, Steve Dale's Pet World. Saturday afternoon at 4 on Super Talk 1270. Talk of the Town, brought to you by Big Boy. Just get in line. It moves fast. Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center. We're here to help you stay well. Trademark Realty, Peak Automotive and Service, and Silver Ranch. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270, you're tuned to Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And going into the break, we're talking with Jason Maxey, Director at Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department. And we wanted to get into the landowner stuff because of what's going on here in North Dakota. And Jason, you had a great point. We were talking during the break about that landowner relationship and how that pertains in Weld County in Colorado versus what we're seeing here in North Dakota.
Well, one of the things that we did early on in The Crude Life, I think it was article number 2, was the relationship between ag and energy, how it was from seed to sun, they are working together. And when Jason mentioned that earlier, it really brought me back to what's happening, whether it be the CO2 pipeline issue in North Dakota, or it'd be some BLM issues down in New Mexico, or there's some new issues now with the zombie wells in Texas. There's a change happening with the relationship between the landowner and the government. And when I take a look at how ag and energy are becoming one, and I'm taking a look at all these different task forces changing their name in Colorado, this is why I think it's kind of the Colorado blueprint. You guys are changing your oil and gas name, aren't you, to something new like an energy commission or something? Oh, the state is. And so I'm going to have Jason just you know, fact check me on that and then transition that into this land ownership and the relationship and how, whether it's changing or not. So that oil and gas commission is changing their name, correct? And that is a big deal for the psychological point of view from the government, in my mind. So talk to me about why is it changing? Because I think that's part of the Colorado blueprint.
Great question on that one too. So I'll maybe answer that and then we'll get into some landowner things. So, yes, the what used to be the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission on July 1st changed their name. And that was due to legislation that just passed out of this last session that gave them more authority over multiple new issues. So in the past, just oil and gas. Hence the name. Now, the new name is the ECMC, the Energy and Carbon Management Commission.
Did you hear that, Steve? Energy and Carbon Management. You see how I'm tying this together?
Wow.
You see how I'm tying this together?
Wow.
What that means is that
2009, remember what Lynn Helms voted on? Pore space. Okay.
Pore space.
All right, go ahead.
So what that means is not just now oil and gas will the state be looking at, but they'll also be looking at a couple additional items such as carbon sequestration with Class 6 wells. They will be looking at underground natural gas storage, and they will also be looking at geothermal, deep geothermal. And so those are some of the new technologies, some of the new quote-unquote energy that is now part of the Energy and Carbon Management Commission that in the past was not a part of what they reviewed. It was not under their jurisdiction to review or to permit at the state level. But now, based on that pending or that legislation that just passed, it is. So they have a big change.
So talk a little bit about the landowner side of things, because we're seeing right now under the guise of carbon sequestration, a for-profit business coming in and wanting a common carrier status to get eminent domain. There's always been a really good relationship between oil and gas and landowners, but it comes back to landowners' rights. How does that work in Colorado? What are you seeing out there with landowners and what the future of landowner rights are in Colorado and Weld County?
Well, I hope the future continues to be how we've addressed things in the past, quite frankly. Weld County, again, we respect our private property rights and we respect our landowners' rights. That's very, very big for Weld County. We definitely don't want to lose that respect. You know, when we hear people coming in and mentioning the name eminent domain, that is not anything that we like to hear. In fact, what we like to do is talk with the companies and say, how can you be a good neighbor? How can you work with the landowners, not get to that point of eminent domain? Because once you get there, all that means is lawyers, right? That means that the relationship is gone. The conversation is gone. It is now moved from a discussion into a negotiation at that point. And, you know, Weld County, again, historically, a lot of farming, a lot of ranching. You know, back in the day, I wish we were still back in the day because a lot of agreements were done on a handshake, right, out in a field. I know that those days are gone, but that is still kind of the mindset of a lot of people, that their word is good. And they want the same things from the companies that are coming in to work with them, quite frankly.
You know, Jason, the ironic part of that is the oil and gas industry has been the handshake and how you have gotten deals done in the past, and you have a relationship with the landowners, whether it's the landman or the company's guy directly. Where I see a lot of this eminent domain stuff coming, where, you know, you take a look at wind farms and solar and now carbon sequestration, it's the new energy, the green energy folks that are the eminent domain people. They don't care about landowner rights. That wasn't on the industry side. This is the green energy side. They just say it's our way or the highway.
Yeah, and I'm not too experienced with that, to be honest with you. I haven't heard that too much. I can tell you that the solar companies that I'm aware of that have worked with landowners here, it is more of what I would expect and is very similar to the oil and gas industry that I work with closely, that there are landowner agreements. I haven't heard of any type of threats of eminent domain, not in Weld County. Now, that definitely could change. And I think with the proliferation of new energy uses and sources, like what you're saying, especially carbon sequestration, there's going to be a lot more infrastructure, a lot more development that's going to be happening on that renewable side or on that new energy tech side. And so we could start seeing it. I just honestly haven't heard about it from my standpoint yet.
Well, as a potential county commissioner, because I had to throw that out there, a little plug for you for the political side of things, just be a little guarded on that, because that's one of the things we ran into in Burley County, Emmons County in North Dakota. They're running into South Dakota and Iowa and Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, is a company that came in for a carbon sequestration pipeline, and they wound up taking a lot of landowners straight to court. Eminent domain, they wanted common carrier status, didn't really negotiate with the landowners in good faith like traditionally had been done. So when you say going back to the way of doing things the way we used to, or the old way of doing things, you're right. It was that handshake out in the field, and you had an agreement. You had a relationship with the landowners. Because when you take a look at the oil and gas history and going back to the landowner side of things, if something goes awry, who's the first one that knows? It's going to be the landowner. So hey, just a quick little second here for your plug. Why did you decide to run for a county commission seat?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. At the end of the day, I love Weld County. My family has farmed in the county since the mid-50s when my grandpa purchased the dairy farm from the former owner. The dairy farm is still there, although we don't milk cows there anymore. They go to a different dairy now to be milked. But, you know, my son just graduated high school. My daughter is a senior in college this year, but they both graduated from the same high school that I went to. I graduated from the same high school that my dad graduated from. So we're invested in Weld County. I'm invested in Weld County. Right now, in my current capacity, I love working and serving in the community that I live. I think that means that, number one, that means a lot to me, but I think that means a lot to people that I talk to as well. It's easy to accuse people of not having the best interest of the community in mind when they're not from the community. But when you're from here and you work here and you have an impact on land items such as oil and gas or any type of other development, to me, that just means a lot. So at the end of the day, I just love Weld County. You know, there's a lot of politicians, I think, that run on a platform of they're going to go in someplace and fix something. Weld County is not broken. Our county commissioners have a long history of strong, good leadership. We are fiscally responsible. We respect our residents. We want to maintain low taxes. We have some of the lowest taxes in the country. We have no sales tax, low mill levies, et cetera. I want to continue that, but I also believe that there are always ways to improve. So even though I don't think that there's any going to be anything, I go into this saying Jason's going to come in here and fix something. There are ways that we can continue to improve and evolve over time. And some of what we're talking about today is exactly that, maintaining our private property rights, maintaining our agricultural heritage, maintaining a healthy respect for oil and gas and other forms of energy, but also making sure that we don't forget our roots and that we remember who we're here for. And that's to serve the residents of Weld County and to provide economic viability and stability for them just as much as for the county and for the state.
Well, Jason, I appreciate anybody who throws their hat in the ring, especially coming from a space like you are, more the grassroots, more the grounded side of politics. So I appreciate you running for that. And, you know, everything you said is the same message that we hear in Western North Dakota. Weld County could fit into Western North Dakota's oil patch very easily. A lot of synergy between the two. So, Jason Maxey, Director of Weld County Oil and Gas Energy Department, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270 on a Wattage Wednesday. More when we come back with Jason Spies of The Crude Life, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach, and this is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. Talk of